Chapter 7, of some other places from which by various consequences is derived the truth of purgatory. Saint Paul to the Philippians 2, says these words, that in the name of Jesus every knee may bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth and of things under the earth infinorum. In heaven we find the saints on their knees, bending them at the name of the Redeemer. On earth we find many such in the militant church. But in hell where shall we find any of them? David despairs of finding any when he says, who shall confess to thee in hell? Psalms 6. So it chias in Isaiah 38, for neither shall hell confess to thee, to which that also ought to be referred which David sings elsewhere 49:16, but to the sinner God hath _ said, why dost thou declare my justice and take my covenant in thy mouth? For if God will receive no praise from the obstinate sinner, how should he permit the wretched damned to this holy office? Saint Augustine makes great account of this place for this purpose in the 12th book on Genesis 33. There is a similar passage in the Apocalypse 5, who is worthy to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And no man was able neither in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth. And further down in the same chapter, and every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth. I heard all saying, to him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb, benediction and honor and glory and power for ever and ever. And the four living creatures said Amen. Does he not hereby uphold a church, in which God is praised under the earth? And what else can it be but that of purgatory? Chapter 8, of the councils which have received purgatory as an article of faith. Erius, as I have said above, was the first to teach against Catholics that the prayers they offered for the dead were superstitious. He still has followers in our age in this point. Our Lord in his Gospel Matthew 18 furnishes us our rule of action on such occasions. If thy brother shall offend thee, tell the church. And if he will not hear the church, let him be to thee as the heathen and the publican. Let us hear then what the church says on this matter. In Africa, at the 3D Council of Carthage c. 29, and at the 4th c. 79, in Spain, at the Council of Braga c. 34, 39, in France, at the Council of Charles de Cons, d. 2, can. Vismist, and at the Second Council of Orleans c. 14, in Germany, at the Council of Worms c. 20, in Italy, at the Sixth Council under Symmachus, in Greece, as may be seen in their synods, collected by Martin of Braga c. 69. And by all these councils you will see that the Church approves of prayer for the departed, and consequently of purgatory. Afterwards, what she had defined by parts she defined in her general body at the Council of Lateran under Innocent III, c. 66, at the Council of Florence in which all nations assisted ses. alt, and lastly at the Council of Trent ses. 25. But what more holy answer from the Church would one have than that which is contained in all her masses? Examine the liturgies of Saint James, Saint Basil, Saint Chrysostom, Saint Ambrose, which all the Oriental Christians still use, you will there see the commemoration of the dead, almost as it is seen in ours. If Peter Martyr, one of the learned men belonging to the adverse party, confesses, on the 3D chapter of the 1st of Corinthians, that the whole church has followed this opinion, I have no need to dwell on this proof. He says it has erred and failed. Ah, who would believe that? Who art thou that judgest the church of God? If anyone hear not the church, let him be to thee as the heathen and the publican. The church is the pillar and ground of truth, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If the salt lose its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? If the church err, by whom shall she be set right? If the church, the faithful guardian of truth, lose the truth, by whom shall the truth be found? If Christ cast off the church, whom will he receive? He who admits no one but through the church. And if the church can err, can you not also, 0 Peter Martyr, fall into error? Without doubt, I will then rather believe that you have erred than the church. Chapter 9, of the testimony of the ancient fathers to the truth of purgatory. It is a beautiful thing, and one full of all consolation, to see the perfect correspondence which the present church has with the ancient, particularly in belief. Let us mention what makes to our purpose concerning purgatory. All the ancient fathers have believed in it, and have testified that it was of apostolic faith. Here are the authors we have for it. Among the disciples of the apostles, Saint Clement and Saint Denis. Afterwards, Saint Athanasius, Saint Basil, Saint Gregory Nazianzen, Ephraim, Cyril, Epiphanius, Chrysostom, Gregory Nyssen, Tertullian, Cyprian, Ambrose, Jerome, Augustine, Origen, Boethius, Hilary, that is, all antiquity as far back as 1,200 years ago, which was the time before which these fathers lived. It would have been easy for me to bring forward their testimonies, which are accurately collected in the books of our Catholics, of Canisius, in his Catechism, of Sanders on the Visible Monarchy, of Ginebrard in his Chronology, of Bellarmine in his Controversy on Purgatory, of Stapleton in his Promptuary. But particularly let those who would see at length and faithfully quoted the passages of the ancient fathers, take up the work of Canisius, revised by Busirus. Certainly, however, Calvin spares us this trouble, in Book 3 of his Institutions c. 5, I 0, where he thus speaks, more than 1,300 years ago it was received that prayers should be offered for the dead, and afterwards he adds, but all, I confess, were dragged into error. We need not then seek out the names and the localities of the ancient fathers to prove purgatory, since in reckoning their value Calvin puts them at zero. What likelihood that one single Calvin should be infallible and that all antiquity should have gone wrong? It is said that the ancient fathers have believed in purgatory to accommodate themselves to the vulgar. A fine excuse. Was it not for the fathers to correct the people's terror if they saw them erring, not to keep it up and give in to it? This excuse then is but to accuse the ancients. But how shall we say the fathers have not honestly believed in purgatory, since Arius, as I have said before, was held to be a heretic because he denied it? It is a shame to see the audacity with which Calvin treats Saint Augustine, because he prayed and got prayers for his mother Saint Monica, and the only pretext he brings forward is that Saint Augustine, in Book 21 of the De Civitate, seems to doubt about the fire of purgatory. But this is nothing to the purpose. For it is true that Saint Augustine says one made out of the fire and of the nature thereof, but not of purgatory. Now whether the purgation is made by fire or otherwise, whether or no the fire have the same qualities as that of hell, still the ceases not to be a purgation and a purgatory. He puts not then purgatory in question but the quality of it, as will never be denied by those who will look how he speaks of it in chapters 16 and 24 of the same book of the De Civitate, and in the work De Curd Pro Mortem's Agenda, and a thousand other places. See then how we are in the track of the holy and ancient fathers, as to this article of purgatory. Chapter 10, of two principal reasons, and of the testimony of outsiders in favor of purgatory. Here are two invincible proofs of purgatory. The first, there are sins which are light in comparison with others, and which do not make man guilty of hell. If then a man die in them, what will become of him? Paradise receives nothing defiled. Apoc. 21. Hell is too extreme a penalty, it is not deserved by his sin. It must then be owned that he will stay in a purgatory, where he will be duly purified, and afterwards go to heaven. Now that there are sins which do not make man deserving of hell, our Saviour says in Matthew 5, whosoever is angry with his brother shall be guilty of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Ricka, shall be guilty of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be guilty of hell fire Gehenna ignis. What, I pray you, is it to be guilty of the Gehenna fire but to be guilty of hell? Now this penalty is deserved by those only who call their brother, thou fool. Those who get angry, and those who express their anger in words not injurious and defamatory, are not in the same rank. But one deserves judgment, that is, that his anger should be brought under judgment, like the idle word Matthew 12, of which our Lord says man shall render an account in the day of judgment. Account must be rendered of it. The second deserves the counsel, that is, deserves to be deliberated about whether he shall be condemned or not, for our Lord accommodates himself to men's way of speaking. The third alone is the one who, without question, infallibly shall be condemned. Therefore the first and second kinds of sin do not make man deserving of eternal death, but of a temporal correction, and therefore if a man die with these, by accident or otherwise, he must undergo the judgment of a temporal punishment, and when his soul is purged thereby he will go to heaven, to be with the blessed. Of these sins the wise man speaks, Prof. 24, the just shall fall seven times a day, for the just cannot sin, so long as he is just, with a sin which deserves damnation. It means then that he falls into sins to which damnation is not due, which Catholics call venial, and these can be purged away in the other world in purgatory. The second reason is, that after the pardon of sin there remains part of the penalty due to it, as for example, in the 2 of Kings, chapter 12. The sin is forgiven to David, the prophet saying to him, the Lord hath also taken away thy sin, not thou shalt not die. Nevertheless, because thou hast given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme for this thing, thy child shall die the death. Dash.